These are some verses that have been during the week of prayer together, and it's a wonderful passage, and I just want to read it to you and then just share a few thoughts from it, okay? So, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them, and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Maybe the next part of it, passage 3. Yeah. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So it's quite a lot in that passage, and we won't have time to look at all of it, but I just want to share some of the main points out of that. So let's have our first, next bit of it anyway, please. Christ's love compels us. The driving force for the Christian life is God's love in us, Jesus at work in our hearts. And there's your battery there, you see, that's the power supply. You need your power supplies. Have you got your batteries in you? I hope so, yeah. It's Jesus' love directing us, pushing us on, giving us the thing to go on. So it can send you to Africa even, can't it? That's right, yeah. So, next one please, yeah. He says, we've got a different way of seeing things now. He says, we're convinced that one died for all. That's Jesus died for all, and therefore all died, he says. Now that's a strange thought, isn't it? If Jesus dies for all have died. Well, what's he mean? Really, it's an important, amazing truth in the Bible. We won't be going into it in a lot of detail. But when you come to put your faith in Jesus, you're joined to him. So what happens to him has happened to you. Yeah, that's the point. So you plug in to Jesus. That's what I got the plug for, yeah? You plugged into Jesus. The power, you see, what happens to whatever you're plugged into, you see, affects, let me give you an example. Your toaster. You've got your toaster or your kettle, right? You plug it in, and the power that comes from the power station drives the kettle. No power in the power station, no kettle working, yes? And so what happens to the power station affects you. That's what I'm getting at. Plugged into Jesus. What Jesus did, he did for us, but he actually being connected to him, he did it with us and in us, yeah? So, he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, when you're connected to him and you're joined to him, you're not doing it for yourself anymore. You're living for Jesus. Yeah? And if you're doing that, you're actually discovering what you were created for. Yeah. You were made to be united to God and to know his power and his love to make a difference in our lives. Yeah? Next slide, please. Yeah? Right. So, from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. You've got a different way of seeing people. We see people now, not just as pains and troubles and problems, or maybe nice ones as well, but we see them as people made in God's image, people that know and can experience the love of God. Yeah? So we see things differently now. Right? And those that are pains, we think, well, you know, if I was in their boat, I might be worse. And if they know Jesus, they'd be better too. Yeah. So we see people differently. And he says, we used to think of Jesus like that once. Well, I mean, I used to think of Jesus as a nice person. Well, he's a nice person, but I've discovered that he's a lot more. So he says, we don't see Jesus like that anymore, right? Okay, next one, please, yeah? Right, so he says, there's me town crier, yeah? You're a town crier now. Right. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Not counting people's sins against them. Is that a wonderful phrase? Not counting it against you. That's God's goodness, yeah? And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So we can go and tell folks and show folks that God's willing to forgive them just as he's done it for us. Yeah? That's a great job. So, you're a town crier now, aren't you? Right? Okay, oh yeah, oh yeah. sense. Oh, yeah. Right, next, please, yeah. Right, so, yeah, I've just got a little story to tell you. Does anybody know where that is?
Peterborough.
It's not Peterborough.
I do.
So, Julian knows because she was here, yes. Right. This is Leeds University entrance, right? When Jean and I had finished our degrees, one was in London, I was at Cambridge, then we went together to study at Leeds. Jean did a postgrad in education, and I went to do, believe it or not, an MSc in food science. Learned all about food, you know. Yes. I discovered that, well, all sorts of things. Fascinating. Food's fascinating stuff, you know. But we know that, don't we, here? Yeah, right. Okay, did food science then. And on the course, in the food science course, there were several people from all around the world. These places collect people from all over the world, of course. There were people from, a guy called Steve from Lancashire. He was an atheist. And there was a chap, I can't remember his name properly, but I think it was Ahmed. He was from Egypt. He was a Muslim. He was a nice guy. He was a friendly guy, was Ahmed. And there was a chap from Golders Green. He was Jewish. Yes, Roger. And, we got on fine. We all did our studies. And we used to meet together in the sort of cafe-type area and talk away and so on. And one of these occasions, we got talking about religion. And Roger was asking me about what Christians believe. Because I thought I was a Christian. I was helping out at a Sunday school in Leeds, of all places, and Jean and I were going along to church, and we met some lovely people there as well, by the way. Mostly Caribbean. It was a sort of a Caribbean church. It was a part of what they call Little Jamaica in Leeds, really. But fabulous people, really nice. Anyway, I thought I was a Christian, and Roger was asking me, he said, what do Christians believe? I said, well, Christians believe that Jesus is the only way to God. That's what I said. I told him that. That's what I thought. That's what Christians believe. Jesus is the only way to God. And he turned to me and he says, Dennis, if you really believe that, you ought to be out there telling everybody. He's telling me. Yeah. And my answer was, gosh, I'm trying to be honest. Yeah. I said, to be honest, Roger, I don't really know. I don't know whether you're right or Ahmed's right or we're right or whatever. I don't really know. But what he did, I thank God for this, he planted a seed in my mind of thinking, got to find out. Yeah. What's it all about, right? And so Roger set me on the journey that led me to Jesus. Yeah. So let's see what happened. What he got me thinking about was this. What's the problem that religion tries to solve? Yeah? And it's the sin problem. How do you deal with sin? Because that's the barrier. I've made the picture such that the wall there, God's behind the wall. You can see that, can you? There's a barrier, and we have it in the writer of Isaiah. He says, but your iniquities, that's your sins, if you didn't know it yet, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. So there we are, as human beings, designed to have a relationship with God, and there's God wanting to have a relationship with man, but the big problem is our sin. Right, so how do we do it? And what Roger got me thinking about is next picture. Right, I can say this, and I mean this, that humans attempt to get right with God in all sorts of ways. They can get religious, you know. You do all the stuff, you sing the songs, you go to churches and all other places, mosques or synagogues. You do your religion, and somehow you buy God off. Right? Or you do your good bits, you know. You don't go to church, but you try to be nice and you try to do your bit for society. That's another way of trying to buy it off, yeah? I'm not saying that they're doing that from a wrong sort of attitude. Attitudes may be right, but what they're doing is they're trying to somehow earn an acceptance with God. You know, pay off the debt a bit, yeah? Right? And the problem is, it's like building a ladder against the wall. The only problem is the ladder's not big enough. Yeah? So you can never deal with the problem. And essentially what Roger got me to start thinking about was this. In every other respect, Christianity is different to all other religions, in that all other religions are man's attempt to reach God. We do what we can to get there. Christianity says, God says, you can't do it. I'm coming down to you. Yeah? That's the difference. I'm coming down to you because you can't get up. So Jesus comes as man to lift up human beings to heaven. Fantastic. Right? So, here we have The problem is, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind our sins sweep us away. So, all the good we do, it's never perfect. I mean, motives aren't always the best of motives, are they, you know? So he says it's all just doesn't count, doesn't work, right? And there's a good one in Matthew. There was a rich man came to Jesus, and he says, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus told him all the rules, and he said, "I've kept all of them." He didn't tell him all the rules, though. He told him one about not making idols and things like that. And so he said to the man, "Tell you what, if you really want to have it sorted, go home, sell up, give it away, and come and follow me." Right? And he says the man's face dropped, and he went away sad. Yeah? Because the problem was, it wasn't his money. Jesus doesn't want his money. Yeah? What the problem was, he made a god out of his stuff. And he was worshipping that. And Jesus is saying, you can't worship God and the stuff. Get rid of that, come and follow me, and you'll be alright, yeah? So, he went to his side, and Jesus made a comment to his disciples. He says, you know, it's harder for a rich man, harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. Do you know how hard it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? Don't try it. Yes. No. It's impossible. That was the point he's making, and this is the bit he says. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished. They thought, maybe a rich man could buy a bit of favour, you know? Get a nice way in. And it didn't work. So, when his disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible." But he didn't stop there. "With man this is impossible, but with God, anything is possible." So next line, next bit, Ben. So there's the answer. God's ultimate solution to our sin problem is Jesus died for us, took our place. Yeah? God made, this is the verse, that's the verse that holds it all together. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, perfect, to be sin, to take our place as a substitute, yeah? To be a sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. It's a swap job. Do you want a substitute? Because you need one. If you try and do it on your own, you're going to find your ladder's not long enough. Right? You need God's solution. Right? So let's just take it next class a little bit here. Right? So how did God do it? And that's that verse I've just read. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's it. Yeah, I recommend you learn that verse if you can, and think about it. It's got everything in it, really. God made Jesus who had no sin. Did you know Jesus never sinned? There's only one human being who's never sinned, because the rest of us have. Yeah? Jesus never sinned. That must have been really interesting to live with him in his family when he was a boy, and so on. But never sinned, right? And so he's perfectly qualified. You can't substitute. You can't substitute a bad thing for a bad thing. It's not going to work. You want a good thing to substitute for the bad thing. So Jesus, perfect. Yes. Next one then. He was made sin. Now Jesus never did anything wrong, but God placed on him your sins and mine. Yeah, he put them on Jesus in order for Jesus to take them away. Right? And he was made sin. And he was made as an offering for sin. Amazing. Wonderful. But Jesus did that. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And the sin, our sins, transferred to him so that we don't have it anymore. Yeah? That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Jesus did that for you and for me. And do you know he did it willingly? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Right? He chose to do that because he loves you.
Amazing.
Right, so then he says, he did that for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. You know what he says, we? Yeah? Now, I've got to say this, it's really important. You cannot be saved by your grandmother. I had a Christian grandmother. I'm sure she prayed for me. Yeah? But, and I thank God that she prayed for me. Right? But I'm not here today because my grandmother saved me. Yeah? I came to Jesus on my own. Roger set the clock ticking, and Jesus got me, yeah? Finally found him, yes? But when we're saved as individuals, you don't stay as an individual believer, right? It puts you into a family of people who are Christians, yeah? Right? So, he wants you to be part of the community. Do you know why God calls Christians to belong to families? To support each other's one, but the other is, and you might not like this, but it will improve you, right? Because you'll find out they're not perfect, just like you are. And as you rub the bits together, you know, it either generates heat, or it softens it, smooths you up. Right? God wants to smooth you up, that's what it's about. So he puts us together as a we. It's great to have brothers and sisters to be able to support each other. And boy, do you need support sometimes. It's a tough old world. God never said it would be easy. There are problems and there are things I can't explain. But it's good to be able to hold each other's hands and to stand by and help each other in those situations. Right, so it's the we become. And he says, we become the righteousness of God, right? It's not just appearances, it's real. Yeah? You are now perfect.
Amen.
Interesting thought, this is. Yeah? In God's sight, he sees you in Jesus. You are perfect. But we all know we're not, yeah? What God does is, he makes us right in Jesus, and then goes round the back and starts sorting us out on the inside. Yeah? So he sees us in Jesus, but he knows we need a bit of improvement on the inside, and he's working Jesus into us. Yeah? So you can say, I am perfect in Jesus. Just remember the in Jesus bit, you'll be alright, yeah? Right? We're the righteousness of God. You don't get better than that. God is perfectly righteous, just, lovely, wonderful, perfect, true and good. All of that becomes available because of Jesus inside us, yeah? And it's in him, you know? You connect, the plugged bit. No connection, no power, no goal. Right? Plugged in, the life of God begins to flow. Right, next, and I think it's nearly the last, nearly there. Oh yes. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. He's a new creation. The old has gone. The new is here. Right. Is that lovely? Jill's telling us it was some years ago on the 27th that you gave your life to Jesus.
January, 7 o'clock.
Born again. Born new. Made new in Jesus. Some of us can remember when. Like that. Some of us can't remember when, yes? But it's not how much do you remember. I don't remember my birthday. I was very young at the time. Yeah? And for some people, they don't really remember their second spiritual birthday, right? But the fact that you're alive tells you that you were born, yes? And there's a new beginning, a new start. Praise God that we can make a new start in Him. And there's new power, new ways of living, and God gives us His grace so that we can have courage to step out into situations which we might have found frightening or challenging. He helps us to be a bit braver than we would have been, because He's promised to never leave us or forsake us. Right. And then we're a new creation, partakers of the world to come. I've used that phrase, yeah? Do you know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth? He's promised that. Yeah? If he made the first one, he knows how to make the next one. Don't you think so?
Yes.
Perfectly capable, right? I remember a friend at work once, he said, I told him that the dead are going to be raised, and those that know and love Jesus are going to be with him forever. And those that don't are separated forever. Yeah? But I said, all the dead are going to be raised. He said, there won't be enough room. Yeah? I said to him, not my problem. God, you make, of course, there'll be enough room. God can make plenty of space, I'm quite sure. If he can make a universe, he'll find enough room for us, don't you think so?
Yes,
no problem. So next then, please. Yes, and I think it's the last one. So our response to this driving force of Jesus in us, Christ's love compels us, we're equipped to be ambassadors, reaching out to others. Like Louise said to those people, the church leaders and what in, you're not here for yourselves. Yeah? You're here for others. Right? And that's the way it works. God wants you to be a pipe, not a plug. If you use an engineering term. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's a pipe for? The flow goes through. A plug blocks the stuff, yes? God wants a plug, meaning that something's, you know, the plug's in the sink. Yeah? Not one of the wall plugs, yeah? He wants you to be apply the flow of God's love into you and through you. And when you're flowing, it's life. You really begin to live when you're flowing. Right, so he's equipped us to be ambassadors. And, of course, when we go to folks and we share with them, you know, we're not coming as some superior creature. We're just the same, made of the same stuff, have the same weaknesses and the same trials as others have had. But we can say, he's done it for me. And if he can do it for me, do it for you. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So, things are good.
Yes.
And Jesus provides the answer to all those questions. Right? So, if you've got a problem, you say, oh, I don't know. But no man who does.
Yeah.
Yeah. He might not tell you all the answers, but you still know he knows.
Yeah.
And he cares. And he's able to help. Let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. And thank you, Lord, that you provide for us in many different ways. Lord, it's all about you. You've done it for us, Lord. And thank you that we don't need to make all those efforts to try and gain your favour, because we have it. Lord, help us to work, not because it's for our benefit in that sense, Lord, but because it's pleasing you and honouring you and being a blessing to those you put in our way.